Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see you. I hope you'll take out a Bible, follow along, see if what is said is true according to God's Word, God's will.
Thank you.
And if you find it to be from God's Word, I hope that you will focus on applying it to your life, that this week we will be more pleasing to God than we were the previous week. That should always be our goal. Now, last year, we had as our theme this idea of walking by faith. We spent 2017 thinking about the great importance of faith. And one of the important passages on that subject was Hebrews 11 and verse 6, which says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Our faith is simply crucial to our salvation. In fact, there is no salvation apart from faith. This year, we turn our attention to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we add to this idea of adding to our faith. And I want to take the time to read the main text for our theme for 2018. And so starting in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, we'll read down to verse 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, as far as passages go, all of the Bible is important. We'll agree to that, I hope. But when you want to talk about passages that are important to Christians, this one is near the top. Because the promises that are in here, the simplification of the process that is in here, is crucial to us. Did you notice that this involved everything pertaining to life and godliness? That this talked about ways that we can avoid ever stumbling. That this talked about ways that we can gain entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. That's important stuff. And it all is surrounded around verses 5 through 7 in which he says, here's these eight things, really. It's here's faith and the seven things you should add to it. Focus on these. And you get everything pertaining to life and godliness. And you won't stumble. And you have entrance into the eternal kingdom. Oh, there's so much in the verses surrounding verses 5 through 7 that I want to talk about. But I don't want to distract ourselves from the meat of it. And so, Lord willing, next month, we're going to really get into the seven attributes. And we're going to spend 1 month per attribute talking about these ideas of moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and going through the list. But I do want to do one more sermon on adding to our faith, one more sermon before we get to the virtues. What we did last month is we looked at this involves us growing. This passage says that we need to add to our faith all of these qualifications, all these qualities. And that means we need to be growing. But there was encouragement in there because he doesn't say when you reach perfection, then you'll never stumble. When you reach perfection, then you'll enter the kingdom. Instead, he says, as you increase, you will not stumble. And as you increase, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be growing. This week I want to add something to that. Something that was emphasized multiple times in our reading. And what I want to notice is that word diligence. What he says there in verse 5, I want you to notice first of all that emphasis on this idea of diligence. Verse 5, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. Notice it doesn't just say be diligent, but it says give all your diligence. Focus your efforts on these things. And then if you go down to verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. And I submit that diligence is once again emphasized in the same verse, and never in choosing, for as long as you practice these things, which is another way of talking about our diligence. It's about our constant daily effort. And I say there are three things that emphasize diligence, but if we go to the end of the book, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, he again emphasizes diligence. Here he talks about the end of the world. Everything that you're spending your time on right now, your bank account, your house, your work, all these things are going to be destroyed. And so he said there's an implication of that in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. And so we put all of our effort towards the way God sees us, towards the way God will find us, towards being right in his eyes, spotless and blameless and innocent. And all of that focuses around diligence. I have a hint for you. There is one thing I want you to get from this lesson. Can you guess what it is yet? It is diligence. That's really it. If you can just get that one concept, that's all that I want you to go through in this next week. I really want you to focus on what's my effort level? What is my diligence towards this idea of growth towards God? Diligence means to be careful and persistent in our work and effort. And I can show you a picture of it in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. Now, it doesn't say this is diligence, but this is just a picture in one of Jesus' parables of what diligence would look like. It's in the parables of the lost. You remember there's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, all in Luke chapter 15. And the parable of the lost coin, in verse 8, says, or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that's the main focus of this passage, is it's about God's attitude towards sinners and how he wants them to repent. And if they will repent, all of heaven rejoices. But the illustration is, when one is lost, all effort, all diligence is used to find it. And so in verse 8, it says, or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin? Now here's her diligence. Does not light a lamp. So she's looking for this one coin that matters. This one thing that is of great importance to her. And the first thing it says is that she lights a lamp. And maybe what that's talking about is that it's dark in this particular area because, you know, they didn't have electricity back then. And so if they didn't have a good window nearby, it was dark in this area and they couldn't see. So she lights a lamp. Or you know what maybe it's telling us is? All night long, until she finds it, she keeps looking. And so she has lit a lamp. The time has come to sleep, but it's not time to sleep, it's time to find. And so she is looking, so she lights a lamp. And then there's dirt and stuff in the way, and so next thing she does is she starts sweeping. And she's getting rid of anything that's in the way of her seeing what she's looking for. And it says that she searches carefully, paying very close attention to what she does, and she does that all the way until she finds it. That is diligence. Overcoming every obstacle and not quitting until you've accomplished your goal. And that is what God is saying. Give all of that towards these things. All of your effort. Diligence is in contrast to sluggishness in Hebrews. The reading that we had for us this morning, Hebrews chapter 6, again calls us to diligence. in regards to our salvation. Again, start in verse 9, he says, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish." So he puts this contrast of diligence and hard work and hard effort versus being a sluggish Christian. Do you know any sluggish Christians? Christians that they follow God sometimes, occasionally. It's not their passion. It's not their life. You wouldn't know about it unless they happen to tell you about it. Do you know sluggish Christians? They're the opposite of what we're supposed to be. Passionate, dedicated, focused Christians who are putting forth the work and the effort in these seven attributes. Diligence is quite simply important. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, since we recognize that we might not make it to heaven, we ought to put all of our effort into getting there. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 compares us to these first generation of Israelites that come out of Egypt. God promises them, you can go to the promised land, and almost none of them make it. And he goes back and he says, here's what's wrong. They didn't have faith and they didn't have obedience. And then he says, look, you're the same. God's promising you something, heaven. He's promising you the promised land, which is heaven. And then he says in Hebrews 4 and verse 1, therefore let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. We could fail. And that conclusion then in verse 11, therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Since we can fail, we ought to put all of our effort and all of our focus and all of our passion on what really matters. And that's getting to heaven. And 2 Peter chapter 1 is saying, here's how you do it. Put your focus and your effort on these things. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it's another similar passage. This one, I hope, is pretty familiar to you. Some translations say, study to show yourself. This, my translation, New American Standard, says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. You put diligence in making sure your relationship with God is good. That when God thinks of you and when God looks at you, He is pleased and satisfied and sees you are a worker who is careful in the way you use God's word. And that all starts with diligence. And so in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the command is, it actually, diligence itself is commanded. This is a long list of things that Christians are supposed to do, and one of them in verse 11 is not lagging behind in diligence. We got to watch out. It's easy to lose our diligence. And so we're warned, don't fall behind. Don't get weak in your focus and in your passion and in your effort. Don't let that happen. Isaiah 26 and verse 9 is a passage that talks about diligence in seeking God. It's very similar to what Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says in the King James Version. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, after it says that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those, New King James, those who diligently seek Him. We put our effort in that. So diligence is really important. You got that? We got this one focus, diligence. And so then what Peter does is says, all right, with all of your diligence, focus on these seven things. You've got faith, now add these things. Add your moral excellence, add your knowledge, add your self-control, add your perseverance, add godliness, add brotherly kindness, add love. And as you add them, you keep adding them. You don't just say, well, okay, I've got some knowledge, check. No, you have to keep growing in these things. But with all diligence, we focus on them. When I'm dealing with new Christians, one of the early lessons I told you is this passage. One of the things I tell them to do is memorize that list. Of course, I will add faith to it. Eight things that if you could put your mind on them and your effort towards them, the Bible's promising everything pertaining to life and godliness. Eight things that if you could put your mind and your focus on, the Bible is saying never stumble. Eight things that if we can put our diligence and our effort towards, the Bible is saying abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Can you remember eight things? This is a list that we ought to know. We ought to be familiar with. And this is a list that should be our focus in our daily life. Diligence. All right, so I want to say this about this. There's some implications of diligence. And the first one is, it doesn't just happen. Growth doesn't just happen. If you become a Christian and you say, yay, I'm a Christian, and then you just quit, you think, well, I'm saved, you have missed the focus here. We become Christians and God takes away of all of our sins, but we're not to heaven yet. We've begun the journey. Growth doesn't just happen, otherwise there'd be no need to command diligence. And what we find in addition to that is there is a personal responsibility in our salvation, despite what so many people have taught and so many people have said, that basically God just saves you and that's all there is to it. That's not all there is to it. The Bible right here is saying, put your everything into this and it makes a difference. He says in verse 10, we can make certain of His calling and choosing us. You can. That's not something you sit back and wait for God to just give you a feeling. That is something you put your diligence into growth and you can know. You make certain of it. Again in verse 10, if we practice these things, we will never stumble. But the condition is if we practice these things, it's up to you. And then in verse 11, after saying all of this stuff about diligence and about diligence and about practicing, he says, in this way, entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. Who's it up to? It's up to you. Now, that may cause some problems. Some people might say, well, has Peter forgotten that we're saved by grace? No, Peter hasn't forgotten that we're saved by grace. We absolutely are saved by grace. Ephesians 2, verses 9 through 10 says that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not us. Please don't misunderstand. Your works won't save you. You could do all of these things on this list and you will not be saved apart from the blood of Jesus. But once you have the blood of Jesus, to maintain that relationship with the blood of Jesus, the responsibility falls on you. Grace makes it even possible for us to be saved, but now there's a responsibility on us. I say Peter hasn't forgotten. You know why I know that? How's Peter end the book? So in 2 Peter chapter 3, you've already seen that Peter began and he said, you need to diligently apply these things. You need to diligently make certain of these things. You need to practice these things. And he adds additional things in there that you need to be diligent to show yourself approved. No, that's 2 Timothy 2:15, sorry. Verse 14. And I have the wrong verse up here. But, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. He's putting the responsibility on you. But verse 18, the very last verse, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you think Peter says we grow in the grace? Diligently working on these seven things. It's up to us. It doesn't remove grace when it's up to us. It's still the grace of God, the power of the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus. But our responsibility in finishing the race, it's up to us. And what that means then is, if you aren't growing, who's to blame? If you're not the Christian you want to be, who's to blame? Should you blame the circumstances around you? The things that are going on? Nobody can stop you from growing. Nobody. Except you. Others can slow you down. There can be circumstances where it's not conducive for growth. A congregation that is caught up in bickering and fighting, it's hard to grow in those circumstances. But nobody can keep you from growing except for you. They may slow you down, but they cannot stop you. If you're not growing, if you're not what you want to be, there's no one to blame but yourself. We must then take this responsibility and say, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I want to be better. I want to get to heaven. But first I'm going to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But first I'm going to go to work. But first I'm going to do these other things. No, if it's really what matters to us, you put all of your effort on this. And everything else comes, not even second, but way later. Implications of diligence. Personal responsibility. We have a personal responsibility in our salvation. And the other implication is there's going to be obstacles. You wouldn't say you need to be diligent if it was going to be easy. This is going to be hard. I know that's not the feel-good sermon of the day. Salvation, easy. No, this it's hard, and that doesn't feel good. But that's the implication. When God says, with applying all diligence, the implication is it's going to be hard. There are going to be obstacles in the way. And I have some suggested obstacles. Difficulties, distractions, discouragements, and excuses. If you can come up with a D word for excuses, that would be great for me. Because that just doesn't work. But excuses really isn't on the list. Excuses is just what happens when you have difficulties, distractions, and discouragements. You come up with excuses for why you don't then put diligence into your life. But there are difficulties. It's hard. It is hard. And sometimes we quit just because it's hard. It's an obstacle. And there are distractions. There's other things going on. And so sometimes we quit because there's other things that are more important in our life at that moment that just take our heart away from what really should matter. And there are discouragements when sometimes you just don't feel like you're growing and you feel like things aren't going the right way and you just quit. And then you make excuses. And you explain why you couldn't do it. Do you make any New Year's resolutions? How's that going? You know what? New Year's resolutions require diligence. Otherwise, you would just at the beginning of the year say, and now I'm going to be able to run 10 miles, and boom, you can. Well, that's not how it works. You set a goal, and now it's going to require effort. You know why people don't finish? Because it requires the effort. And eventually, we don't put the diligence towards getting it done. I hope that one of your goals this year was to read the Bible through a year. I gave you an outline, something to help you, a schedule to get through it. And you want to know something I know is true right now? It got hard. It got hard. It takes diligence to read through the Bible in a year. You have to find time in your day to do it. And I know that's a challenge. But if it matters to you, you find time. And it's an added difficulty that you have to find time, not in one day, but every day, or at least 5 days a week. You have to find time, and that's an obstacle. And diligence will overcome that obstacle. And you have to overcome distractions, because there might be something going on at the house while you're trying to read. Perhaps it's kids running around screaming, or it's the telephone ringing, or it's the pot boiling, or whatever. There's always the distractions. And may I say that right now, one of the difficulties with finishing reading the Bible in the year is, and I don't want you to get this the wrong idea, but it gets hard to read, dare I say even boring, because you hit Leviticus. And that's where you guys are at. If you're following the plan, you're just now getting to Leviticus. Or maybe you're just, Exodus alone was challenging enough because it started saying, here's how you build the tabernacle. And your eyes just glaze over as it starts talking about all these cubits. You know what? It gets hard. And if you want to accomplish it, it takes diligence. It takes the effort to press on. Whether it's the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the priestly garments, the genealogies, or the upcoming numberings, there are challenging things. Expect it and approach it with the mindset that says, I will not be stopped. I will put in the effort and I will get it done. Shockingly, on our list of seven things, knowledge. Diligence towards knowledge. When you put forth the effort to say, I will not stop reading, you are doing part of what we're talking about here. You're putting forth the diligence to finish this effort, to grow on a daily basis. So, what's the one thing I want you to get from this lesson? Diligence. Let's go out there, and let's not just see if we'll be Christians. Let's not just see if we'll happen to be obedient to God today. Let's put all of our passion and our focus and our effort towards accomplishing it. I will diligently apply myself towards moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you will, God in turn says, you won't stumble and you will make it. So let's do it. Let us apply all diligence to add to our faith these 7 attributes. Thank you for your time and for your attention. Let's go out and do these things for the glory of God and for the salvation of our souls. If you're not a Christian and you need to become one, there's no other way to be saved. God did not send His Son to die on the earth because He wanted to create one way to salvation. You can be good enough, but you can also follow Jesus. That's not it. Jesus died because it's the only way to salvation. And if you have not yet been baptized into Him, you're not on the path to heaven. We need to start there. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and the water is prepared, you may be baptized into Him this morning, have your sins washed away, and begin this journey. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, you have not shown the diligence you ought to, we've all been there. We stand ready to once again encourage you and help you. And the first thing we can do is if you'll tell us, we'll pray for you. And God has promised He will forgive you. So won't you come as we stand and as we sing.